Amen. I'm glad we've got a God that's proved Himself tonight. Glad we have a God that we don't have to read about what He used to do. But we can certainly know what He can do in this day and this hour. Tonight I'm interested again in a few thoughts that I think is very timely in our church and in our lives. That of what it has to do with the home. Jesus said that your treasure would be where your heart is. You know, I believe that the home is a great treasure in the eyes of God. And you know, thieves only break in to where there's treasure. Boy, how thieves would love to break into our home life and destroy that of which God has purposed to be wonderful for us. Let's look at some teachings tonight found in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll lay just a little bit of groundwork where we've been this morning, then carry out this tonight and finish it. If you'd stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. The Bible said in Ephesians verse number 5, number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That means non-carnal. I'm glad our church has stayed in the old paths of the way of singing. And He says, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God or in the respect of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Thank you for standing tonight of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Now this morning we had talked about the principles of our home life. Jesus said, unless you build your house on the rock, it would fall. Then, not only did we talk about the principles of our home life, but we talked about the priorities of our home life. What are some top priorities in our home life? I think that our beliefs need to be right. We need to understand that God wrote this to help us, not to hurt us. He wrote this to guide us and to direct us. Therefore, we must realize that the Word of God is very important in our home life. Then we need our bunch right. The Bible said, a house that is divided will fall. That's why it's very important that the husband and wife both be saved. Therefore, they must be in the same mind and the same accord as Christ is to be the center and the focus of that home. Then we talked about our banking right and our budgets right. You can't spend more than you got. If you do, you go in the hole. We talked about let our chief banking be done in heaven. It's fine to have things in this world, just don't let things in this world have you. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. And then we talked about our bond needs to be right. In Genesis 2, He said we are bone of bones and flesh of flesh. When a man and woman is brought together in that partnership and relationship of marriage, there ought to be a bond going on in our homes that nothing else could ever get in between. We ought to love our wives as Christ has loved the church. And husband, I will remind you in later teaching that the husband is the initiator. The wife is the responder. And they're only going to love back the way that they're loved. You need to remember that tonight. And so therefore, we need to be right in our bonding. Take time for each other to build a good home life together. But tonight, I want to deal with this principle on our behaviors being right. Now, you notice in Ephesians 5 and 21, I want to say four things about these behaviors, right, and then I'll get on. First of all, we need to use the word submit. Submit. It simply means, look in Ephesians 5, 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, giving each other right of way. It's not a one-way street. A lot of men want to pound the desk and say, well, I am the husband and therefore I'm the head of the house. You got to do as I say, and I understand all of that. But let me tell you what, it's got to be a relationship and a working together, going together for the honor and the glory of God, submitting ourselves one to another. And look what the Bible says, in the fear of God or in the reverence of God, God would have us as husband and wives to be submitting to one another. Not only of how does he feel, but how does she feel. And so we must learn this thing of submit. Until we learn, first of all, to submit to Christ, we're not going to submit to anybody else. Oh my, how we need to learn to submit in our homes to authority. And then not only do we need to submit, but I think we need to commit. In Ephesians 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, I think in the husband and wife relationship, there not only needs to be a great submitting, but there needs to be a great committing. Committing ourselves to one another. Men, as Christ has loved the church, do we have any idea tonight of how much that Jesus loved us in order to win us? Oh my, it speaks volumes of commitment. We need commitment back in our homes in America and in our church tonight. We ought to be committed to the Word of God. Ought to be committed to one another. We ought to be committed to our children. We brought our children into this world. Now we need to do what the Bible says and raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Oh, tonight we sure do need to submit. And we need to commit. But then thirdly, I want to say it does a lot of good sometimes to admit. We need to admit when we're wrong and say, I'm sorry. It's hard to say I'm sorry sometimes. But I can tell you this, it sure does go a long way. In Ephesians 4 and verse 22, look what the Bible has to say in Ephesians 4 and 22. Now you must put off some things and put on some things in order to admit some things. He said in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man. And I tell you who he is and what do you do every time? He's always corrupt. Which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and lust are deceitful. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Talking about admitting now. What's your verse in 26? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You know, husband and wives are going to have disagreements. But we must at times admit when we're wrong and say we're sorry. The Bible says we should never go to bed mad without getting things sorted up. You know why? The devil is so tears while you sleep. Oh my, tonight, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, Paul is instructing and he says, be hurried to get your differences sorted out. Now, we ought to submit, we ought to commit, and we ought to admit when we're wrong. The Bible simply says in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Some of you need to let the past go. And so many times the devil would love for you to hang on to something or somebody that's done you wrong. But this Bible tells us to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's hard to throw rocks at somebody as good as Jesus has been to us. And so, tonight, we need our behaviors right. And then I want to say, in our marriage, in our homes, we need our boundaries right. Every home ought to have some boundaries. And I want to say, boundaries are intended to help us and not to hurt us. And not only to keep us safe, but to keep others safe. Now, I'm trying to just deal with our relationship at home and not bringing the children in yet. But I want to say on these boundaries, I want to mention five things about these boundaries that we ought to be conscious of in our homes. Number one, where you go. Have some boundaries of where you go. And if you get out of bounds, you're going to get hurt. And so we need to have boundaries of where you go. Secondly, how you go. Be careful how you go. And then thirdly, who you go with. Because you'll become those who you run with. It ought to be some boundaries. It ought to be some lines drawn in the sand by mom and daddies, not only in our relationships, but what we do as husband and wives and what we allow in our homes. Where you go. How you go. Who you go with. And then fourthly, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And we all ought to have some boundaries in our homes that would safeguard from what we see. I would encourage you to do two things on your TV and your computer. You need to put some safeguard controls on there that'll keep you from being the natural person. Because I can tell you this, don't say that I won't never take a look. Because you may take a look. You know why? Because this old nature is wicked. Now the last thing that a drunk needs is to be locked up in a liquor store with the lights turned off. And so we've got to put some safeguards up in our lives around in our home. Matter of fact, some of you may be surprised what your children's looking at if you go look on the computer. Be careful, have boundaries in your home. I think computers are one of the greatest things that's ever been invented for helps. And it can also be one of the most targeted things the devil would use to destroy your home. You know something, ladies, you have no business chatting with other men on Facebook. You have no business doing that. And we need to be careful. We need to have these boundaries. Boundaries in our lives that safeguard and keep us. We need boundaries in our church. We don't let any other kind of Bible come into our pulpit or into our teaching stations. We don't let contemporary music come into our church. Why? Because if it ever starts, it'll take over. And so it is in your house and my house. Honey, you leave the door cracked too wide and a critter get in down where you live. The older I get, the more safeguards I want to keep me from hurting myself. We need boundaries in our home. I can tell you this. Your children is watching what you allow them to watch. And so be careful with your boundaries to be right. Where you go, how you go, who you go with, what you see, and then what you say. Be careful the words you use. My mama used to have a saying, now, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap, and then your daddy's going to beat the brakes off of you when he gets home. And so we don't use either in America anymore much. But I can tell you this, we need to be watching what we say and how we say it. Our children are listening. You know, I want to say right here and then get on off of these boundaries. Have some boundaries. Watch ungrateful words. Husbands and wives, we ought to appreciate each other and what we do for one another. Be careful. Don't say ungrateful words. Two, watch your undisciplined thoughts. Sometimes your mind want to go places and you got to stop yourself and say, what you thinking? What you thinking? I use this with Parker a lot. I'll call him. I say, Parker, what you thinking? What you thinking? You know, I'm glad I got a Holy Ghost lives in me. Sometimes he holler, kid, what you thinking? Be careful with these boundaries of these ungrateful words, these undisciplined thoughts. Thirdly, watch unwise involvements. The devil would love to set a trap for you. The devil would love for you to fall over into a minefield and destroy yourself. The devil don't want to wound you. He wants to destroy you. Unwise involvement. And then, I want to say this, especially seems to be in this day and this time, and some of you older folks, I think you agree with me when I make this statement. Watch unbiblical counsel. You know, if husband and wives would talk more and try to sort things out, then if they can't get things sorted out, go see somebody that'll help you with the Bible. Watch unbiblical counsel. You know what the majority of counsel will tell you? Leave them, divorce them. But I believe God can work anything out tonight. And so, I want to say not only our behavior's right, we ought to have some boundaries right. And let me go and get this in case you don't ever think to say it. you ought to have some boundaries on your children. I'd be careful who they'd go spend the night with. I'd be careful who I'd send them off to for the weekend. I would set a curfew for my children. You say, well, preacher, I got good kids. That's good. Keep them good kids. I had a mom and daddy love me, and about 13 years old, you know what? I come 6 years old later, and they're in heaven tonight. May the Lord rest their sweet spirit, but they turned me loose. 13 years old, I was running with 19, 20, 21-year-old boys I had no business being with. And it got me in a lot of trouble. So you better set some boundaries for your children. But I want to say this, y'all let your children be children. They're going to make some mistakes. When they make mistakes, get up, brush them off, and help them along in life's way. Don't throw them away. Pray for them, love them. Set boundaries for your children. Grandparents, set boundaries for your grandyoungins. Make them mind you. I don't like whipping on mine, but I will whip them. Amen, because I love them. And therefore, by that, I have a deep respect by them tonight. I want to say set boundaries. But then, not only to think of behavior and boundaries, but I want to talk just a minute about blessings. Look in Psalms chapter 3, verse 8. I want you to underline this verse tonight, and I'm about done. Psalms chapter number 3. I want you to look in verse number 8. Psalms 3. Verse number 8 about blessings. Did you know that every family sitting on the sound of my voice this evening has been blessed? Brother Gerald and Miss Peggy at the back, they was looking at Cora Jane. Cora Jane was a slobbering. Miss Peggy said, or Brother Gerald said, that's slobbering. She said, yeah, but it's good slobber. I said, amen, that's honey. Somebody say amen. Every family in this place has been blessed. Maybe not with children, but in other areas that God's been so good to you, so good to me. You know what? God's still in the blessing business. We better be careful to guard our blessing. The devil would love to break through and steal your blessing tonight. And I want you to underline this and remember that your preacher told you this in Psalms chapter number 3 and verse number 8. You ever seen it? Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. It's God's blessing that He has entrusted you with. That's not all your blessing, honey. It's God's blessing that He's entrusted you with. They're His blessings tonight, and He can withdraw them anytime He wants. Blessings, I believe, is always intended to make those it is bestowed upon to think more of the giver. You know, when somebody is a blessing to you, don't you think more of them for that? If somebody really is a blessing to you and does something for you that they really don't have to do, but they want to be a blessing and do it to you, don't it make you think more of them than it did before? Look how good God's been to us. We ought to thank a whole lot of Him tonight. He's been so good to us. And so you underline this and remember it. Thy blessings is upon thy people. They're God's blessing that He's entrusted me and you with. Keep our blessings right. Our blessings have always been designed to touch our hearts, to love Him, nor not to drive us away from Him. God's not giving you blessings to take you from Him. He's giving you blessings that you'd appreciate it and be thankful to Him for it. The things God has given you, use them wisely. Keep Him first. Don't let your blessing become a curse. Then lastly tonight, not only the principles of the home life, building your house upon the rock, the rains descended, the winds came, the floods arose, and it fell not because it was founded upon a rock. Remember the principles of the home life to build on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the priorities of the home life. But then lastly, the preservation of the home life. The safeguarding, the keeping. And I want you to look here in Deuteronomy 6. I want you to underline a few things tonight. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 4. I want you to look at this in your Bible. Real easy to find. You need to underline some things. Here God is teaching about the home and His people. By the way, we are His people and sheep of His pasture tonight. And He says something about the preservation of the home life or the carrying on of the home life. You know why America is so broke down tonight? The home life has not been carried out biblically. God intends for the home life to be preserved and handed to another generation. That's one, I believe, one of the greatest assets that our church has to offer to families, that their children may be raised under Bible preaching, an atmosphere of worship and where you can come to the altar and pray, that they may be handed to another generation when we're dead and gone. Look what God has to say in Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's no other. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on the gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee in the land which He sware unto your fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells dig that ye dig not, vineyards and olive trees that ye planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware. Lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, shalt swear by His name. Verse 14, ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted Him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes which He hath commanded thee. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. to cast out all thine enemies from before thee as the Lord hath spoken. Verse 23, and He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might, here's our word, preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. He said in verse 12, beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and go after other gods. Lord, help us to preserve our homes. Help us to hand these fundamental teachings down to our children and their children, that they may prosper and be blessed, and that there would be a generation that knows God. I appreciate y'all being here for the evening service. We've had a good crowd back, and I appreciate you.